Welcome back to God's Watch, everybody. Episode 2, which is actually for episodes 3 and 4 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Aaron, what are you doing?
I knew that you would be more comfortable and feel more confident going into this podcast if I wasn't paying attention to you, so I didn't.
So you're just going to do literally anything else? You're going to quite literally pick lint off the microphone?
I found something to keep myself occupied for 10 seconds while you got the intro done, and you did masterfully.
I feel like you're not listening to me. I feel like you don't respect me.
I always listen to you. There's not a time in this time where I have not
listened. And not
listened.
A time in this time?
Yeah.
Wow.
You are a...
Yes.
We'll discuss yes. later. We'll off the podcast. Percy Jackson, everybody.
I'm feeling persecuted.
Persecuted?
Really persecuted? See, it works better when you don't explain the pun.
Wow.
And you just kind of let it be.
Yes. Well, that's why I just let it go.
I don't think you did, though.
Yeah,
I think. So Percy goes to see an oracle. Remember the thing that I was like, I wonder if they're going to do that? That did
was
the thing.
2 seconds.
Quite literally immediately.
Was it supposed to be 2 seconds long?
I mean, you got what it was, is that he went up there and you see the mummified oracle and she wakes up. And
I need a conversation with
an
oracle.
She gives him his little prophecy and bye-bye.
First of all, was he told to go see an oracle?
Yes, they don't show that in the show. Okay. He literally just walks up there.
So that's what I'm saying.
But they're
so
like,
what am I supposed
to? You gotta go to the attic and go see. There's like a whole thing earlier
Who's
in the
attic?
Book too where like there he looks up and in like the high window,
uh-huh.
he sees something walk by and he's like, Who's up there? And Chiron is like, nothing lives up there. Nothing living is up there. And like very ominous. Mm. And then later on, it's like the oracle is here.
I wonder why we decided to leave those little tidbits out and just
time.
Like cut to time, really? Disney?
Yeah.
And one of the biggest books, you know, of, you know.
Time. You got to keep the kids engaged.
That would have been engaged. I would have been like, what's up there? Like,
wow.
It would have been curious.
Who knows?
And then the way that we format a lot of these with these hard stops.
We've not mentioned that, but yes.
Yeah, like, it's meant to...
It's edited for television. It
yeah.
Like. It's waiting for, like, it'll give you a commercial break.
Like, this wasn't supposed to be for streaming
yeah,
initially.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I feel like at a certain point we have to stop accepting that streaming is non-commercial. Because
yeah, but
a lot of these streaming plans are commercials now.
Is there one for Disney Plus, though? I don't think there is
there might
one.
Be. I know there's one for Hulu, which I think this is made probably also on.
I don't like that, then.
I know.
Because now you're... This just sounds very classist. Now you're putting their low...
Yeah?
their low-tier, subscriptions into our stuff. You're formatting for the lowers. Is that what you're doing?
So you don't want to watch TV like the poors?
I didn't say like the poors.
It is. It is what you said. It was a subtext.
I said the people that decide.
It was implied.
To not pay for the extra stuff. Like I pay for Hulu to have no ads.
Mm-hmm.
Do
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want.
The poors.
I don't want my shows formatted.
Wow.
For
so
the people that choose not
this
to.
This is going in the cancellation folder. I'm going to hold on to this. For
wow.
later. So Percy goes up to the oracle. He gets, well, we get the first half of his prophecy, which is that he has to go west and face the god who turned and find what was stolen and safely return it.
It would have been better if it was rhyming, but whatever. You
it
know.
Did. Turned and returned.
Yeah, but you said return it.
Well, that's because I said it wrong.
I know.
It ends in return.
That's why I said it would be better
but then
if
I,
you.
But yeah, I'm paraphrasing.
But you shouldn't paraphrase on a rhyme.
But I'm paraphrasing.
Just rhyme.
And I'm expecting you.
The rhyme is the paraphrase.
We saw it about 2 hours ago.
So the god that turned.
The god that turned.
Has to be.
It's not a riddle. You know who it is.
Well, do we?
Yes. This is not a riddle.
Do we? Because I feel like all roads point towards the dark ruler Hades. But could it be somebody else? I'm just saying.
Wow.
Could it be somebody that actually turned and lost their wife?
So anyway.
Could be.
Hades is under Los Angeles.
Yes, which makes sense. It's Hollywood.
Obviously makes sense. It's a very quick line in the show. It's also a quick line in the book, but it is funnier in the book where they're kind of like, well, how do we know where Hades is? Where would you, Olympus is in New York. They're like, it's in Los Angeles. Of course. Like, obviously.
Yeah.
Silly little, fun times. You get little jokes here and there. Little laugh.
If you were to think where Hades is besides Los Angeles, what other city would you put him in?
Tulsa.
Really?
Seems like a bad place.
bad things happen there for sure.
Seems like a bad place.
But I
who wants to go to Oklahoma? Nobody.
Well,
not am I wrong?
Well, I mean, my people, not anymore.
Nobody wants to go to Oklahoma.
Full
Salt
massacre.
Lake City.
I know.
It's where you least expect it.
Well, then it's like Walla Walla. That's where it's at. Like
Sacramento.
No, because we're a very diverse. Mm. So we would be more of a. We would be more of a what's his name in the camp? The camp counselor.
Dionysus.
Yeah, we would be more Dionysus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Hades is in Los Angeles, and so there's this big. We see this big thing. This big ritualistic. You have to choose your companions. Who are the two companions you're gonna choose to go on this quest with you?
And some of those people in that circle knew they weren't getting chosen. Like, because it's like I don't know your names.
No.
I never
red
learned
shirts, all of you.
Yeah, orange shirts, legitly. So, but what I did, which was a surprise, I thought he was going to go Luke.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, in the book, it's not even a question. Like, it's immediately like, Grover is going with you. Like, this isn't a choice.
But see, I thought Grover was just an automatic choice. Like, yeah. He didn't get to, he's not a part of the two.
Yeah.
He's just like, this is your guardian. He always goes with you. So I was like, okay, so then he's going
and then
Luke.
Yeah,
Luke and Leia.
No. Yeah, it's Grover's going with you and Annabeth has volunteered. And so
she volunteers in the book.
Yeah, because they talked about it in the previous episode. Like, all she wants is a quest. Like, she wants to go on a quest.
Yeah, but he chose her on this one.
Yeah, no, she's like, I'm going. Okay. You're not, this is happening. Mm. You don't have a choice here. I'm going. And then, you know, they kind of pull the whole, like, well, Poseidon and Athena don't like each other. So, like, we're not going to supposed to like each other and we're not going to be friends.
Whatever.
Because our parents don't like each other.
Yeah.
But,
your cousins.
And then we get the second half of the prophecy, you shall be betrayed by the one who calls you friend and fail to save what matters most in the end.
So, I can see Grover doing it.
Yeah.
He already ratted him out at school. Like, so he's already on the betrayal side once.
That your guess is going to be Grover?
Twice. I would think so, because Grover, I feel like Grover's going to have something that's personal to him.
Yeah.
That he's going to be like, well, sorry, Percy, but I have to. You know, this is another satyr. And I, because remember in this episode, the first episode mm-hmm. that we watched, three?
Three.
How long does he stand in front of his uncle?
Uncle Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's emotional. He didn't even pay attention to the rest of them. And then when they start bickering, he gets upset at it. So it's like, yeah, this is... He's shown a range of more emotion that's bigger than the quest that they're on.
Yeah.
So I could see it being him.
All right. You think he's got bigger aspirations?
No, I think he's easily emotionally manipulated.
Wow.
Not in a bad way. I don't think emotions are bad. I think it shows a level of vulnerability that he has that the enemy, Thalia, could
as you've decided the tree
yeah sure sure it's the tree that they can play on. It's like, hey, you know, I need such and such to happen. Where is the easiest to manipulate link? That's
if you're saying he's Ron, that's about right.
First of all,
the weakest link.
First of all,
yes,
Harry needs to go on.
No,
not me.
My God.
Not Hermione. So you tell me who's the weakest? The guy who saved the day. Literally saved the day.
It should surprise nobody that Aaron's favorite character is the misogynist.
Saved the day.
So they're going on their little quest.
Yes.
They're going on their little quest.
$200 in hand.
Sent off with $200
yes.
to get from New York City to Los Angeles.
You know what? We didn't think though.
Hmm.
Maybe it was $200 a piece.
It was not.
You don't know.
I do know.
It could have been for the show. It could be different.
No,
they could have got $200. That's six. That's a good.
I still don't think that's getting you there.
That's a good bus ride.
No,
I'm just saying that.
That was when we were gonna look up
bus tickets
from one place to the other. We did not do that. It's too much. Yeah. So they're sent off with $200 in cash and like 10 or 20 golden drachmas.
Which is how much?
Who the fuck knows?
Okay. Same gripe as I had with Harry Potter. Can we get some currency?
No.
Like, I don't know how much is that. Because he had a Ziploc bag, first of all.
Yep.
That wasn't even full of them. It may be about 8. like nine of them?
Yeah.
What does that get me?
But you know what else he gets? A pair of winged shoes.
So that's cool.
That
How much
do
they go for? How much do those sell for? Because this Ziploc bag of eight coins.
About five golden drachmas, maybe. And then we get the Thalia tree story, which I hoped would mean I would finally stop hearing you talking about Thalia's out there, because she's quite literally a tree.
Yeah, but we're talking about a race of beings that can turn into animals at will and stuff like that. Like, think about it. Zeus turned into a cow.
Zeus can.
Okay. And he turned somebody else into something, right?
Yes.
What makes you think he can't turn it right back?
But he hasn't, because it's still there.
I don't know.
The tree is right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can see the
Every tree. Every tree can't be replaced. Like, he could just turn it back and then put another tree there. They're trees. They're not. It's nothing special.
You're overthinking this.
Wow.
So we get the Thalia tree story, which was that Thalia was with them when they were trying to make it to the them being, dear God, Annabeth and Luke.
Yes.
They're running. They're trying to make it to the boundary. They're getting chased by hellhounds. What they don't really mention, but is kind of implied, is that the hellhounds were sent after Thalia specifically because she was Zeus's child.
Okay.
Because he's like, you're not supposed to exist.
Yeah.
Like, we made
we made
a pinky promise.
The what do they call them?
The forbidden child.
The forbidden child, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hellhounds are chasing them and Thalia turns back at the end to try and save her friends. And for her bravery, Zeus turns her into a tree. Congratulations, Thalia.
For the time being. somebody found a way to take her back or something. That's my theory. It's Thalia. Because she would be pissed, right?
You're
going to do this to me? No. I'm your child and you turn me into a tree?
Yeah, well, everybody knows Zeus sucks.
Okay, well, who's doing something about it, though?
He's Thalia. Zeus. He can't.
Thalia is doing. She's stealing lightning and causing wars.
Wow. So they take a bus.
So, now that you mention it, because I have been doing some Googling.
Yes.
The average cost for a bus ride from New York City to Los Angeles, $190.99.
Per ticket?
Yes.
There's three of them.
One way, by the way.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I guess they need to just go one way.
Hey. So they head off to the Port Authority bus terminal.
Yes.
And get themselves a bus to Los Angeles.
Clean-looking bus, so it's definitely fiction.
Yeah.
Because that bus, the seats looked clean.
I mean, have you taken, like, a Greyhound yes. and a, what was the other one?
Not recently, but when I was younger.
Last time I was
I remember taking Greyhounds, and they were dirty. Every single Greyhound that I went. Because we have, in the city, you know.
Megabus, that's the one I'm thinking of.
That's
they
the really cheap one.
Yeah,
the Megabus is the.
And the ones I was on are pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only taken Greyhounds, and they're disgusting.
Well, they don't make it very far.
No, they
bus.
Don't.
So they take the bus. Annabeth, clearly in charge. Clearly taking charge of the situation.
I guess.
She's taking charge.
Is she?
She is in charge.
How long did that conversation for snacks take?
Yeah, because she's in charge. And she's like, she's offering them a choice. All right. And if they want to take it, if not, she'll make her own decision. And which she did. They also talk about why they're taking the bus and not flying.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
yes.
That was a good inclusion because I had this. I was like, "What do you mean we're not going to fly?" Because that's the first thing Percy says when they're like, "Okay, you have to get to LA." He's like, "All right, I'm going to hop on a plane." And they're like, "No, no, no, you've never been on a plane, right?" And he's like, "No." And they're like, "There's a reason for that. Your mom never put you on a plane."
Oh, I just never because some people just never leave the town they're born in.
No, I mean
so
I don't know that he ever went anywhere, but it was very clear like your mom would not have put you on a plane because
especially
we're not.
New Yorkers like
yeah.
Some people just never leave. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so it's Zeus's domain up there.
Yeah.
They're like,
okay.
Let's not risk a plane full of people for you.
I'll accept it, but also, you can't afford a plane ticket.
I got $200.
$200
in a dream.
Spirit won't even let you on their planes for $200.
And they have a week, essentially, to get this done. They're not going to get to L.A. on a week with Spirit Airlines. It's not going to happen.
How many layovers are Spirit?
Have you ever looked at, like, booking a flight with Spirit?
No, because
it's
I've heard so many bad things.
Insanity. Not even the fact that, like, you're not going to get there. But, like, I always, when I'm looking for flights from here to New York,
mm-hmm.
similar, it'll always show me, like, the cheapest one is Spirit. And I could fly nonstop. Let's say it's five and a half, six hours.
Mm-hmm.
On Spirit Airlines, it might be 32 hours.
That's ridiculous.
Because they've put two, like, 17-hour layovers somewhere in the middle of the country.
But they're, like, the cheapest, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because you're, like, standing up the whole way like you're on the subway or something.
Anyway, so they can't fly.
Okay, yes.
So they have to take a bus.
I did like that explanation, though.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
This is not a democracy. She's not letting them vote. Grover's trying to make the peace, trying to sing his little kumbaya song.
Which you were all covering your face for. It wasn't that
cringe. I can't do embarrassing things. And you know who doesn't like it either? The Fury on the bus. Mrs. Dodds is back.
She's back, yes.
She's back.
So how does death work?
So they didn't say in the show, and I was curious if they would, but when they like vaporize and go away, they're coming back.
Okay.
Like they're not dead. So, which is also what kind of piques Percy's mind of like, maybe mom's not dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything, every time, the idea is like, they might be gone for like a lifetime. They might be gone for like a year. They might be gone for 5 minutes. So clearly the Furies have come back very quickly.
Okay. All right.
So the Fury comes up. She offers Annabeth a little deal. She's like, look, I know you don't like this kid, and I know you want to do your thing, so just give him to me, and then you can be on your way. Not a thing that happens in the book.
And what would be the benefit for Annabeth, though?
She didn't like the kid.
Okay. That's not benefiting anything.
Well, that's what the Fury tells her. She's like, do you really think that this Percy kid is going to be helpful to you? Like, he's just going to drag you down.
He hasn't done it yet. You guys are on a bus. You're 5 minutes into your adventure.
Well, it doesn't matter because Annabeth one-shots her.
Yeah. Well, she one-shots the sister.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the other Fury.
Then we come back to the other later. Yeah. Yeah, this is a much bigger scene in the book.
Go on.
They're in the midst, like they're in the middle of driving when they realize, like the bus is on the road and moving when they realize this. And it becomes like a fight on the bus, and like Annabeth gives Percy her hat so like he can turn invisible. Mm. He like grabs the wheel of the bus and runs them into the side of a tunnel. Get everybody off the bus.
Is no one else on this bus?
No, it's packed.
So no one is stopping the other two children that are fighting invisible things, I'm guessing?
Nope, they're all up in the back of the bus. Everybody's worried about the crash that's about to happen.
Because I can get that. You can't see Percy touch the wheel because he's invisible. But there's other two children that are...
We'll mention that in a minute.
Crazy-ish.
We'll come to that. So there's a big fight. The bus rolls off, you know, off to the side. Everybody gets off. And then essentially they take out one of the Furies and the bus blows up.
Okay, how?
Exactly. I want to say, I can't remember now that I was about to say it.
All right.
I was going to say, I want to say it was like a lightning strike.
Zeus intervening.
Right. But then I was like, did that actually happen or did I just make that up?
You probably made that up.
This is a really great podcast for me to know everything because I don't know everything. I read this book one time.
Read it, though.
As opposed to the other episodes.
What is your retention, your record retention?
I'm in the middle of Words of Radiance and we just watched 8 hours of The Wheel of Time. All right.
Yeah. And
my brain is a colander.
What book did I read? Words of Radiance is my first book this year, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Never mind, because I was going to be like, what was the book that I read before? I can still remember that.
There's a big fight. The bus explodes. And some people do see something, because as we mentioned in the last episode, somebody puts a newspaper article on Percy's bed about the disappearance of this mother and son, and a picture of the two of them. And the cops, you know, it's like, call the cops if you see these kids.
How many days has it been?
He said last Saturday, so it's been like a week maybe.
And they put pictures up in the paper already?
Yeah, it's been a week. It's the age of information.
And no, I can see the internet. Yeah, I can see your flash on their phone or something like that. But nobody's got a newspaper on a bus. Calm down.
Well, the newspaper was somebody in the camp had it and like put it on Percy's bed.
Okay.
But now it's like another thing where there's a report on this crazy bus crash, and also people reported seeing this kid that they've seen pictures of in the news.
Hmm.
And so there's been a sighting, and he might have been here, and he was with two other kids, and there was some kind of violence, and so there's
some
this
kind of violence.
There's like this continuing line of like the police are looking for Percy. Yeah. That we've left out, which is why I'm bringing it out, because it doesn't look like the show is doing it. But there's this, like, continual thing of, like, there's pictures of Percy in the media. They are looking for him. They're both looking for, like, him as a missing child, but also, like, he might have been involved. Is he potentially a suspect in what happened? Because his stepfather paints him as this, like, troubled, violent kid.
Speaking of stepfather, we didn't mention that the Oracle looked like...
Yes, appeared as Gabe.
Is that in the book?
I believe so. I can't. Okay. I don't know. I think she might just don that for like a second and then change, but I honestly can't remember if she holds that form or not. But yes, it does happen.
Okay.
I do believe that is what happens. Yeah. So they get off, and in this, it's very quick. Like, it's a quick thing. They kick out the window of the bus and then they run into the forest.
Oh, there's a forest just happened to be nearby.
Well, I mean, they're in New Jersey, so there's a lot of forest.
Is there? I don't know. I thought it was just all.
What was funny about the scene in the book, though, is that when he rams the bus into the side, it's the Lincoln Tunnel. They're in the Lincoln Tunnel. They've not made it out of New York City yet. The Lincoln Tunnel, if I remember correctly, and anybody on the East Coast is going to be like, you're wrong about this. I'm fairly certain that's the tunnel that connects New York City to New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So I was like, going to say, because it didn't mean anything to me.
You haven't made it anywhere, and shit has hit the fan.
Is it a long tunnel or something?
Like
a
really yeah, long it's pretty
tunnel?
Long.
Okay.
But the other thing that happens is that their backpack is in there when the bus blows.
So they so lost they all nothing. Their gold coins.
All their gold, yeah. I believe they lose the gold coins, but they definitely lose the cash.
Well, you said the same thing in the show, though. Because you're like, you left your backpack.
Yeah.
Because he grabs the box, that's it.
He does grab the box, and then yeah. There's like no backpack. Also, they're just carrying around a giant box. Of just put the shoes on. Put the shoes on.
That's what I didn't think. Yeah, why aren't you wearing them at all times?
In the book, he gives them to Grover immediately, because he's like, I can't use these, because I can't fly. I can't be in the air, so I can't make use of these. So he gives them to Grover immediately.
I can't fly only because Zeus would just strike you down, right?
Yeah.
But, like, Grover wouldn't say the same thing. Like, he knows I'm rolling with you right now, right?
Yeah.
So then why wouldn't he just strike me? So you're just giving me these
There's
sabotage
rules. There's
boots.
Rules.
Okay.
So we get them walking through the forest. Annabeth really doesn't want to ask for help. Percy's like, let's call the adults. Let's call camp.
Yeah.
Tell them what the fuck happened. We ain't got no money. We got nothing. And Annabeth is like, no, we're not going to do that. Like a 12-year-old. Just like a 12-year-old.
But what is the camp going to do?
I don't know, give them money.
How? They don't have cell phones. They don't have bank accounts. They can't wire the money.
There's a way to make it happen.
Okay.
All right? It's the Greek gods. They can figure something out.
With $200? Yeah, sure.
That they don't have anymore?
Yeah, they're like, no, you guys blew your whole spending for the whole summer.
That's your fault. You got to make it up now. So, you get a little bit of character dialogue here. Annabeth doesn't want to ask for help. You know, why is Percy afraid of who he is? You know, the classic hero adventure stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We find out that Grover was the satyr that was with the group.
So interesting, because you said he's 28 years old.
Yes.
And he was the previous guardian of Luke,
Thalia,
and Annabeth. So, like, what is their job?
Their job is to find the demigods and get them to Camp Half-Blood safely. And
okay, so
the
there
fact
isn't a, like a like Wheel of Time, how there's the guardian for
the Aes Sedai and the
yeah,
water.
Yes, that's no. what I'm. That's what I'm thinking. Their bond is, and the only reason why it was broken is because Zeus intervened and turned one into a tree for time being.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So there's like this whole thing that they kind of are leaving out of the show that like Grover holds a lot of guilt and also a lot of like shame over the fact that he failed his mission.
But did he?
Because not everybody made it. Not everybody made it.
Technically,
Thalia
did
not make it.
She's at the edge camp, right?
She's at the boundary. She's on the other side.
For now, because it's not her.
Oh my god. So he really like he's got his own kind of motivations of like the things that he wants to go do in life, and he's like, I need a mission to like work. Like I need a mission to go well. And even, you know, I was supposed to get you here safely and then your mother died out there. So like I'm on this quest with you because I need to succeed in a quest. Because
I'm 0-2. Got it.
Yeah. Like I need a win.
Got it.
So they walk into what's his face? Grover smells burgers. In the middle of nowhere.
He smells it from a distance, by the way.
He's a goat.
He's a satyr.
He's a goat.
And the part that is goat-ish is the lower half. So where's the nose? No.
It's where the olfactory sensors are.
I don't think so.
So they show up at Auntie M's Garden Gnome Emporium.
Yes.
And they know right away, they make the connection right away that this is Medusa.
Yeah, no, anybody could from looking around.
Not in the book.
But also, what? Really? What?
They don't know.
There's no guard. There's a Garden of Stone things.
But it doesn't look like that. It looks it just looks like fairly normal sculptures.
Some people.
Some of them are people. Some of them are like the satyr. Like he sees that immediately. He's like, oh, this kind of looks like my Uncle Ferdinand. That's crazy. Look at this. He looks just like him.
Okay. Calm down.
You see like a bunch of like garden, you know. And I think it might also be nighttime at this point. It might be dark.
So that would be worrying for me. If I'm going into this garden and I see those monsters that are frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So now that exists. There are these things that are out there. And if whatever powers that be want to send things after me, they could
like,
possibly. Yeah, they could possibly send some of these monsters after me. I'm a little concerned now. I'm a little concerned.
So they walk into this place, and the Fury shows up behind them. Mrs. Dodds has followed them, but she won't go against Auntie M.
That's smart.
Medusa.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is styled very beautifully with her veiled hat.
Here's the question I have. If all the Greek mythology is real in this, and all the stories are real, shouldn't she be dead by now?
Right, didn't Perseus cut off her head?
Exactly.
Great question.
Or is Percy Perseus?
No, because it specifically says that he's named after Perseus.
Yeah.
So Perseus already exists.
But it could just be a lie, because you're named after stories that the Oracle said.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, these stories...
Don't think too much about it. It's a middle grade book.
I think you're not giving middle graders enough credit. I think you're having them be stupid. And middle graders are smart, intelligent creatures.
I'm thinking Rick Riordan is rewriting these things to work in his story.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with why she's not dead currently.
Because my first question when we get up to Mrs. M, or Auntie M, would have been like,
why are you alive?
Your head should be off your body right now.
Well, so they show up. The Fury is there. She won't cross Auntie M, so they decide to go with Medusa. They make the decision to go with Medusa. Percy talking about, like, my mom said that she's not a monster. She's not what people say she is, and I trust her, so I'm going to trust this woman. And they go in. In the book, they're starving. They're really hungry.
It's a Hansel and Gretel thing for
real. Yeah, they're really hungry. They can kind of smell food. And the woman that runs this place, Auntie M, is a woman in a niqab.
Say that one more time.
Niqab. The hijabi, but like the full veil.
Got it.
So she's covered head to toe. She's got the full veil with the eye mesh.
Oh, okay. I was going to say just the eyes open?
No. She's got the mesh over the eyes.
All right, gotcha. I know exactly what it is now, yes.
So they don't make the connection. They're just hungry. Percy notices that the food that they're eating makes him really sleepy.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then it kind of slowly progresses where, like,
so she's just out here roofying people?
She's just out here. She talks
but for
to,
what?
Well, she's Medusa. That's what she does.
No.
That's what she does. Also, I don't remember if it, like, makes the connection that she knows.
Remember?
If she makes the connection that they're the kids of Poseidon and Athena.
Okay, because I can see that.
Because she talks about why she's there. You know, in terms before they know that she's Medusa, and she's like, oh, I run this place by myself. I run this place by, you know, by my lonesome.
What's
I don't
the
have
place?
Anybody else. Auntie M's Garden Gnome Emporium, where she sells her garden gnomes. Yeah, her little statues.
I would have thought it was like a bed and breakfast.
No, this is a garden gnome emporium.
Because there's like food everywhere, and...
Yeah, in the book, she's like, come back to the kitchen, like, I live back here. Like,
oh, yeah, no, in the show, there's food, like, already on the table.
All out there. Yeah. Very Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. So I was, that's why I was like, is she, like, coaxing people in? Is, like, what's...
And this is just like a stop on the side of the interstate. It's like a little shop on the side of the interstate. And she eventually coaxes them to, like, take a photo. So she's like, sit here and we'll take a photograph of you guys for,
in
like, posterity. In the book.
Okay.
And then at a certain point, like, I think it might be Annabeth that makes the connection where she's like, actually, I think something is going on here. And then they have a big fight. And then Percy cuts off her head.
Oh, this is totally different from the...
Very, very different.
Okay.
Yeah, so they went a completely different direction with it in the show where...
Can you look at a picture?
Of Medusa?
Yeah.
I would assume so.
Okay.
Because you can look at her through a mirror.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Because
that's how he cuts off her... Yeah. Okay. So then what would be the problem with a selfie?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Anyway, she wanted to kill them.
Do they have phones?
No, because the book came out much earlier than the show, so they don't have a cell phone.
Okay. Because you said it was 2000s, right?
Yeah.
A little BlackBerry.
But like they're 12.
I mean, maybe. Really? I don't know. I don't know when kids. I didn't get my first cell phone until I was like 22.
Really?
I didn't want a cell phone. I did not want a cell phone.
Because you're old.
No, it's because my boss forced me. He was like, because I was a manager at the time.
No, I mean, the reason you didn't want one is because you're old.
Oh, I mean, at 22,
you're a crotchety old man.
Yeah, I sorry, tangent. I could not stand the idea of somebody...
Being able to reach you at any moment.
Yes. Yes.
What are you, me?
I couldn't stand it. And then my boss, when I became a manager, he was like, I have to be able to reach you, dude. Like, if something goes down... I need to be able to reach you. So I got the cheapest cell phone. And Steve, anyway, yes, I didn't like cell phone. I I don't.
You sound like me, because like now, especially with work stuff, I'm like, I don't like being in a position where you expect me to respond within minutes of sending me something because it's instantaneous. Yeah. No, I'm not available.
Yep.
Anyway.
Side tangents, yeah.
They
don't have cell phones out on this Medusa trip.
So we've got this whole Medusa thing going on. It starts to go in an interesting direction. Like, she calls what happened a gift rather than a curse. It's very sanitized in the book, where she talks about, like, I had a boyfriend, and this woman didn't like that. She was jealous of me and my boyfriend. And then we met up in Athena's temple, and Athena didn't like that my boyfriend and I were there, so she cursed me with this stone thing. And, like, everything is very, very sanitized.
Yes.
As it should be for, like, 8 and 9 year old kids.
No.
Yes.
Teach them what they were teaching the Greeks that back
Poseidon
in the day.
Raped her, and then Athena punished her for it.
They need to know the disgusting how Percy's dad is gross. All right, that's what they need to know. They need to know that. So let them.
So highly sanitized for the kids.
Very much so. I do agree with that. Just to be clear for everybody that's listening.
That was sarcasm.
Yes, it was very much sarcasm.
So they start to go in the direction of telling the more, I guess you would say, feminist version of the story, where like what was done to her was a gift rather than a curse. But then they don't really walk that line. Because the version that I'm fond of is the one that we read in lore.
Fond of?
Where it's a gift of what Athena does to her rather than a curse.
Oh, I'm thinking the... Okay.
No.
Okay,
I was
like, excuse me, you're fond of this?
Where essentially the version
I'm with
is,
you.
Yeah,
I'm with
essentially
you.
The story is that Athena gave Medusa the gift of never being victimized by a man again. Because nobody can even so much as look at you without your permission.
Yeah.
I tend to like that version of the story. But no, so she starts, like, it very much is still a thing that, like, Athena cursed her with this, and Medusa just came over time to be like, I think I'm okay with this. Yeah. Like, I've made my peace with it, and I can use it to my advantage.
Honestly, what more can you do?
Truly. Mm, right. But Medusa tells her story about how Athena cursed her with this just because she's vengeful and petty and mean. Annabeth doesn't want to believe it. Yada, yada, yada.
It's her mom.
Yeah, it's her mom, who she clearly has a connection with and feels very deeply about.
Never spoke to her, though, huh?
No, not so much.
Interesting.
And, you know, she talks about how she feels like she and Percy's mom are bonded in some way. They're targeted by the same monster in that way. And he's dealing with, like, is my father who I think he is? Because, like, my mother really likes him and blah, blah, blah,
You
blah,
don't
blah.
Know the dude, Percy. Like, two seconds ago, you didn't even know he was alive or a thing.
No.
So,
but then offers to turn Annabeth and Grover to stone so he can continue on his way unimpeded. He obviously is like, nah. And then big fight, yada, 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 cuts off her head.
Yes. I don't think he yada, yada, yada through it. I mean, it was a whole
yada, yada, yada.
They went to the basement, the sub basement, and they saw like the rows and rows of different people that have traveled down there and gotten stoned
and have been
up.
Shipped there over the many times that she's moved, likely, because they're all in boxes, like shipping boxes.
With the Hermes labels on it.
And so they, you know, Annabeth gets her plan. She's the planner. Percy's the actor. So she, you know, in the plan, and that hat, and invisible, and slice and dice, and then
kind of very comfortable with murder.
Yes. And that is, like you said, the way that they can show it on Disney.
Oh,
is
yeah.
By making her invisible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't do that in the book. She's visible.
So how does he do it then?
He just doesn't look.
Oh, he just swings
basically
wildly?
He basically got his head down, swings his sword wildly, and cuts off her head.
Okay, we've seen shows now where people are swinging wildly and hitting the wrong targets. Let's calm down, Percy.
In this scenario, that is for children, he does manage to hit the target.
No blood, by the way.
No, because again, that's another thing. That's another ratings thing. There's a fun fact about Tangled, which I don't think you've ever seen.
Never seen.
But there's a character in Tangled that gets stabbed, and the knife goes in and it comes out clean, because if they added blood to it, it changes the rating.
Got
so they're like, we can stab somebody, we just can't show you any blood.
Also, it's an interesting thing that if you put the hat on the body, everything is invisible, even if the head is
even
detached.
Even separated.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a DNA attached?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
Again, it doesn't happen in the books, so I don't know.
Yeah, I get it, but, you know.
And then they use the head to kill the Fury outside.
Yep.
Which was
like a little side thing that they did.
She was just chilling out there the whole time.
Yeah, but like, if she's a character, she had lines and dialogue. He just went out there, and it was like from the POV from inside. Like, they just showed Grover looking out and then seeing it happen. Or Annabeth, yeah. That was kind of anticlimactic between...
Well, it doesn't happen in the book, so I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It's my answer for everything. I don't know. It doesn't happen in the book.
Or you don't remember it in the book. Who knows?
And then they go back inside. They find... they decide that they're going to mail the head to Olympus as a little fun little thing to do.
It's going to get somebody.
Yeah.
It'll get...
That's what I'm saying. That is the ultimate prank. You put the head in face up. So whoever opens the box,
I thought that's what the whole goal was.
No.
It was like, hey, send this to Zeus. Actually, problem solved.
I just take out Zeus?
You just sent the head to Zeus. He opens it. Oh, I got a gift. Petrified. Boom.
Not so much. So they find the address for Olympus because she had mailed stuff there before. They send it there. They have their little kumbaya moment. They're all happy-go-lucky. We're all friends now. We're not friends because your friends are going to betray you.
They're friends.
We're not friends.
Yeah, they're friends.
And then we get our Lin-Manuel sighting.
Yes.
He's Hermes.
Two seconds of Lin-Manuel. And this was the thing that I did see beforehand. So this was a small spoiler of just him on a elevator.
Yeah.
And going, I'm guessing, to the top floor, which is where Zeus probably resides, or the rest of Olympus is.
So Mount Olympus is on the 600th floor of the Empire State Building, which Percy looks at that and he goes, well, the Empire State Building only has like 100 and something floors.
Yeah.
So yes, it is in the magical 600th floor.
Have you ever been to the Empire State Building?
Yes.
What floor did you go to?
The observatory.
That seems crazy. Is it a long trip?
Not really.
Really? Like maybe 3 minutes?
I don't know. Not long enough that I notated it.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking like 100 floors.
It doesn't take that long.
It's crazy. I'm on elevators almost every day at work, and the max I do is 4 floors, and that at least is 30 seconds. Multiply that by...
My guess is also it's a very different kind of elevator made for a different kind of building.
Yeah. Hypersonic speed elevator.
Because we did the Space Needle, same thing, very high. We did En Seoul Tower in Korea, same thing, very high. They don't really take all that long.
I think the... What is it? The... what's the pyramid in Vegas called?
The Luxor?
Luxor. I think that's the highest one, because we were up high when I went and stayed there. So
that hotel is really cold. That's the only thing I remember about it. When we were there, it was freezing. Anyway, Lin-Manuel is Hermes.
Off. Yes, Lin-Manuel.
We see him for about 3 seconds.
Says little jingle type of... He sings a real song. But
because there's like elevator music that he's singing along with.
Yeah.
And so we see Luke's dad. And there we go, because he's Hermes.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Hermes is Luke's dad. That's right. Is Luke done?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. But
I do know.
Because I'm like, and then whose side are, I really kind of want to, I hope in one of these episodes we see who's siding where.
Right.
In the pantheon. Like, which gods are like, oh, I'm on Poseidon, or I'm on Zeus's, like.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but.
I do know.
And I wonder if are we even going, because we're halfway.
We are halfway now.
Yeah.
In terms of what we talked about here, we're at 3 episodes, but we do.
Correct.
Leads us right into episode 4.
Yes.
I Plunge to My Death. So the title of this is I Plunge to My Death, which is the chapter in this book with the St. Louis Arch. That is the only thing I knew about this book beforehand, because I'd seen like memes of people basically, we'll talk about this, but the scene is slightly different. And you know what? I'll wait. Well, we'll talk about when we get there. It truly doesn't mean anything, but it's going to bother me to go this far out of order when we went so far out of order last time.
Okay.
So we're going to go in order. Percy's a little baby learning to swim. Afraid of swimming. Afraid of the water.
Oh, yeah, the flashback.
Yes. Flashback to Percy learning how to swim.
Yes.
Doesn't want to let go. Has a little moment with his mom. Lovely. Has another dream.
Yes.
Dreaming of this cloaked figure telling him says she is coming.
Oh, wow. She. Huh.
Says she is coming.
Big wonder who hole, she could be.
Big hole in the desert.
Yeah.
Falls into it. Wakes up in the biggest train sleeper cabin I've ever seen in my life.
Very spacious.
I've been in a sleeper cabin on a train.
Okay.
And that thing was palatial that they were in.
Well, I know there's cabins that big.
There are. Not for any money they have.
Exactly. They have no money.
So this is the thing that the show left out, is that after they leave Auntie Em's Emporium, they're kind of like stuck in the woods. They have no money and no anything. Mm. Grover can talk to animals.
And why did they leave that out?
He talks a little bit to the Pegasus, the winged horse. But they don't imply that
didn't make it seem like it's a conversation. Yeah, I do that with with Millie, and like, you know, how so you do that? Yeah.
They find a poodle, like a little pink poodle, like somebody's pet. And he's like, this is how we're going to get home. Or this is how we're going to get further, I mean. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, she's missing from home, and there's a $200 reward for her return. And she says that she'll, you know, she'll let us take her back, and we can get the reward. And so they take her back to her house, and those people give them $200, and then they take the Amtrak.
Still not enough money.
Well, they say that, because it'll only get them as far as Denver.
Okay.
With a layover in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
So that'll get them as far as Denver, and when they get to Denver, they have to figure something else out.
Okay.
So that's how they've gotten this money, with their friend the poodle. And they're in this absolutely massive sleeper cabin. But it is what it is. We're gonna believe that
it's basically three stories.
It's crazy. You can sleep three people there in different levels. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So Percy, you know, they kind of have their little like, are you awake? That's always the classic conversation. Are you awake?
Yes.
Let's have a little conversation. Let's have a little exposition. A classic moment.
Yeah, it was good.
But he asks about Thalia, the last forbidden kid before him.
Strange we bring her up again.
You are really
on this. She's a tree. She's a tree, right?
Wow, you are really on this. So they talk a little bit about her. Annabeth talks about how she was, again, this is like more like sanitized, like she was born from a thought of her mother and gifted to her father. It's like they didn't bang. She just thought me up and then dropped me off.
I thought it was like Greek thing. They do that all the time.
Apparently
in Greek
so.
Mythology. They
Apparently
always
so.
I came from a toenail that I chipped on.
Grew Athena out of my forehead.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So that's why I thought it was just.
Fair enough.
When in Rome.
Strange.
Right?
But sure. And talks about how she was gifted to her father. But then later, you know, she was happy with her father and then he got married. So in the book, her father never wanted her. He treated her like an inconvenience. Like, Athena gifted her to her father, and he, like, she showed up one day, or she didn't even show up. The stork delivered her on the west wind.
Uh-huh.
And he asked Athena, he's like, well, can't you take her? Like, I'm busy. I have work and a life. Like, I don't want a kid. And he's treated
her entire
life.
Does he go get a kid?
Well, then he gets married later and has kids. When he's apparently ready for them. He didn't want Annabeth.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
I suppose.
People do
and
that all the time.
He just always treated
her
like an inconvenience. He always resented her presence.
Why didn't she, Athena, just keep her?
Because she needed to be raised by mortals. That was the thing. You see, he the father asked, like, you can just have her. And Athena was like, no, she has to be raised in the mortal world.
Because?
Because. Because I fucking say so.
Yeah, okay.
Because
yeah,
I'm a
cool.
goddess and you do what I say.
Okay. So deadbeat parents.
Yeah.
Got
and
it.
So once he has a new wife and new kids, he like totally forgets about her and just ignores her.
At what time? Because she's only 12.
Well, and then when she's 7, she runs away.
So I guess 7 years it took for him to be ready to have a family.
Maybe.
I'm guessing.
He already had kids that. I don't know. I don't know how long it took.
Well, because I'm trying to line this up where it was
like.
Because
I don't think she ran away as soon as he had other kids. Because there were like 2 kids, I believe. So the timeline.
Is not adding up. The math ain't mathing of. You know what? I wanted kids, just not with you. That's what it sounds like.
It do be that way sometimes.
That's what it sounds like.
It do
like.
Be that way sometimes.
But who's better than a god, Athena?
Yeah.
I gotta see this other woman.
He didn't want it.
I bet you it's like, I was gonna say Hermione, but I'm thinking of Aphrodite.
There you go.
There we go.
So the show very much paints it as like it's the new wife who doesn't like her, and you know I was a problem to her, and you know, but it's very much it was your father.
But see, that makes a little more sense without the I wasn't ready for kids thing.
Well, the I wasn't ready for kids is I'm adding that context there. It was really just I don't want her. Like,
oh, okay.
I don't want this kid. Like, I'm busy. I have a career. I have a life. I don't have time for kids. Like, I don't want this. So clearly at that point in his life, he was not ready for, nor did he want kids.
And then two years later,
he got married. He suddenly wanted kids. He was building a family. And that was what was important to him. He didn't care about this other thing that had been dropped off on his door. He didn't give a shit.
I kind of don't like the fact that they made him black now.
Wow. How do you know Athena's not black?
She could be. Yeah. Very much could be. But I didn't see any depictions of any black women. When they
in
show
the
gods, they're only black dudes.
I wonder if we'll see her. I wonder if that'll happen.
If it turns out that's how it is, then okay, that's how it is, whatever. But if it isn't, I don't like the stereotype. I'm just going to say. I'm gonna go on record right now.
You know who else doesn't like things? Grouchy Grover.
I mean, he didn't get enough sleep.
He's just comedic relief. But
that's fine.
Get you a little comedic relief to break the tension of the sad story.
And that's good.
And then something flies into the train.
I don't know what that was. It just looked like an orb of water.
It did, but it was ostensibly echidna.
As an orb of water.
Apparently. That's how she got there. So they have, on this train, they've got 2 days to get to L.A. And he says plenty of time before the deadline.
Yes.
So we've got plenty of time before the deadline, apparently. They have their little moment of, like, seeing centaurs in the wild, and they're galloping along. The humans can't see them.
They say something about Pan.
Yeah, so we talk a little about Pan, the god that the satyrs worship.
Yeah.
Who is, like, it's eco-friendly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're basically like, he disappeared some 2,000 years ago. We've been looking for him ever since. But ever since he disappeared, the humans have been destroying the earth.
Yeah.
Like, y'all have been doing your best to destroy the climate and the environment however you can. And so now it's like this thing where the satyrs, you know, the bravest and most, you know, the best of the satyrs will become searchers and look for Pan. But nobody who's gone to search for Pan has ever come back.
Because his uncle was a searcher.
His uncle was a searcher, yeah. Who didn't even make it out of Jersey. That's embarrassing. Your Uncle Ferdinand sucked.
He ran into Medusa.
So did three 12-year-olds.
Yeah, but he didn't have a sword.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and an invisible. Invisible cap. Jeez.
That is his own fault because the children killed her.
When somebody is saying, hey, just go look for this god real quick.
And nobody's ever come back.
They're not thinking like, oh, maybe I should gear up with guns and weapons and stuff.
Well, that's why nobody's ever come back.
I'm just going to go look for somebody. Terrible.
Percy kind of wants to talk about, like, you know, are we not going to talk about the Oracle said that the thing was going to fail? Like,
so here's the thing I do like about that, that he just outright told them everything.
Which he does not do in the book.
Okay, see, I don't like that in the book. I like that he's, because, like, of course, if this is a life-threatening situation that we're in, everybody needs to be on the same level of knowledge with all the information that's given.
Yeah.
So he gave up everything. Like, hey,
one of you is going to betray me.
Yep.
Mission's going to fail.
Yep.
Not going to save what I want to save.
Yep.
Yeah, he does not tell them that. He especially doesn't tell them one of you is going to betray me. He keeps that shit to himself.
Yeah, you gotta let them know.
Yeah, not so much. But he decides to in the show. So they're kind of all working under the same information base. Cops come to find them. Says, hey, you in this cabin?
And you saw who they questioned most of the time.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed they did.
They didn't question Percy, I tell you that.
Mr., I don't think you should take that tone with me.
She should be more knowledgeable, because no, she shouldn't take a tone like that.
Well, she left home at 7 and hasn't been out of Camp Half-Blood.
You've seen the internet, though.
Has she? Do we have any indication that they have, like...
I would hope so.
I mean, we don't know. We don't see anything.
I don't know if you get Wi-Fi at Camp...
Camp Half-Blood?
Yeah.
You think there's a cell tower there?
There should be. They're everywhere.
But the humans can't see it.
Pan has left room for them to put cell towers everywhere, so.
There is an interesting bit where, like, and the show never tells you, like, never resolves it, where, like, they don't know if the cop is a monster. And it's very telling that they're like, is he a monster or is he just a cop? And you're like,
Like, does it?
Does it matter?
Does it really matter at this point?
Does
that's
matter?
True.
Because
yeah.
He really went at the little black girl a lot harder than the other kids.
So, if I'm Percy, I'm a little bolder, especially because I got two bodies under my head. And, you know, I've taken out some creatures here and there. Actually, I've taken out a good 4, I will say, at this point. Minotaur, first the Fury and at the Met, then again after Medusa. So I'll just count Medusa and then the Fury again. Yeah,
he's got 4.
I've got 4 under my butt. So I'm a little cocky now.
To be fair, he can't do anything. Oh, they didn't mention this. He can't do anything to the cop with his fancy sword if he's not a monster. The sword does not work on mortals.
Oh, see, that's not told. That's not said.
It's not said to me.
It's
celestial bronze. It'll go right through mortals like nothing.
Oh, so then I'm really using it, because then I'll know for sure. Yeah, I'm getting up and I'm stabbing, and then when he looks at me like, "Why are you poking me with this bick?" Then we're good. I'm like, oh, I thought you had a fly on you. Sorry.
I was going to poke it.
Yeah, I was going to poke it. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm testing everybody that I run up to. Yeah, there's no limit to who I'm testing out. I'm just poking.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm poking everybody.
Well, they've got a Karen on board who says that they were the one. Interesting that not one single person is like, hey, all the glass is on the inside.
They're not detectives.
They're
okay?
Neither am I. And that was the first thing I saw.
You're looking from the outside of the case. Wow. They're in the moment.
In the moment? Yes. Like the 12-year-olds?
Yeah, they're 12-year-olds, yeah.
Well, what's-his-face, Grover, notices that there's glass on her jacket as the Karen tries to talk to them with her sweet smile, her sweet little white lady smile.
So if she got attacked, or like if Percy attacked her there, the guys wouldn't be able, or the police or whatever, wouldn't be able to really know what was going on, right?
So it's hard to say because there's moments like the bus in the book where like they know, like people notice violence, they notice something happening, they see these kids. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to tell what they would see.
Because I'm like...
Because in the show, it seems like it would... Like, they just wouldn't see anything.
I would have just... To set the scene, you have Echidna sitting adjacent from the three kids who are in a booth. And she has her bag next to her, which is zipped up at the time.
And so it's clearly a carrier.
It's clear, yeah, it's clearly something is moving it around and jostling inside. If I'm Percy, this is when I attack right now.
You're just swinging that sword.
Because the police are up the way.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not really paying attention. She already shooed them away. Like, hey, can you give us some privacy? I'm coming at you.
Well,
like,
that's not what they do.
Yeah, that's what the problem is.
They have this whole sit down with Echidna.
Yep.
None of which happens in the book. They don't meet her until the arch. There's this whole thing
arch
on the train.
Isn't that arc?
Because it's an arch.
But arc.
Arch.
Nobody.
It's the St. Louis. Nobody calls it the St. Louis Arch.
Who says, oh, I'm going to McDonald's who has the golden arches? They say arch.
Everybody. It's golden literally arcs. Called the golden arches.
No, it's the golden arch, just like McDowell's.
God. Christ almighty. No.
Nobody says arches.
It's the golden arches, and it's the St. Louis Arch.
It's arc.
An arc is like a trajectory that something.
Kind of like an arc.
The shape is an arch.
It's arc.
Oh, my same. God.
Good Lord.
So Echidna sits down and talks to them very condescendingly. They have this whole sweet white lady smile the whole time. And then they run. They run. They're getting attacked. Percy gets stabbed with a little stinger.
Yes.
Something. You don't really
He didn't even react, really.
Yeah, he didn't really notice. And you don't know until later that there's like a little quill.
Yeah.
A little stinger. But they get out of there. They make it off the train. They notice that they're not being chased by the Chimera. They're like, oh, it's going to hunt us. And I was like, well, that doesn't really make sense. It could just chase you. But sure, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's what hunting is, right?
Just and they're like, well, where are we going to be safe in St. Louis? And little Miss Athena Jr. is like, a sanctuary to Athena. The St.
Which
Louis Arch.
They had to explain that to me because I didn't get how it was a...
Well, it's not in the book, so I don't know.
Really? So they just...
They go because she wants to go. She, like, wants to go sightseeing. She's like, I like architecture. And I want to see this thing. So let's go to this thing.
Okay.
She likes architecture. She wants to be an architect. She likes that Athena appreciates architecture. Percy kind of laughs
so they
at
do
her
the
a little
same,
bit about it.
I mean, they kind of wrap it in the same bun or bow or whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, you can let them slide. If you're listening and you're a... Like Percy Jackson fans, like, oh, I remember the book all together. You can let them slide on that one. That, because they explained it to where, like, because of the architecture that.
The symmetry
that she appreciates it a lot. Athena does. So you can let them slide on that one. So.
Well, they go to this this altar to Athena, the St. Louis Arch. They talk a little bit about, you know, what they're going to do here. They're like, we have to make up to the top. She's like, you can call your father. I can call my mother. He's like, I don't really want anything to do with him.
Which, why is that a choice for you guys? You know, they never answer you.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Which I think is part of why she, I mean, again, this is not a thing that in the book they're like wanting to call them. Like this, you don't call them up.
Yeah.
As they're setting it up in the show, it seems like maybe it's like her last resort. Like she doesn't want to have to call her mom. And now it's like, well, maybe we should call mom. Mm. And Percy's like, no, I'm actually good. I don't know this man, and I don't care about him, and I don't want anything to do with him.
Which is weird, because in the show, you were just looking for him. Before this whole mission thing. You were like, I want to talk
to him.
Not
for help, though. Like, for vengeance.
Well,
vindication.
How else are you going to get his attention?
I'm just saying.
Also, you should believe more that you have his attention, because you got the Triton thing when you were in the water.
Yeah, he claimed you.
Yeah.
So he should be paying attention.
So he should be paying attention. You wanted him to notice you.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll see where it goes.
Like you're the tribal chief and stuff.
But so he gets hit by the poison. The slow-acting poison finally hits him. They shove him in a fountain. Starts which splashing water
is
on
disgusting.
Him.
Do not go in fountains, people. Fountain no. water is gross.
Unless you're a son of a sea god.
Don't even do it when you're that, because it didn't help, as you saw.
They do get him up into... The thing that's weird to me is that in the St. Louis... Do you think that the people... It's a huge tourist attraction. There's a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. You think the people that work there are letting 3 12-year-olds hoisting their friend between them who looks on death's door? And like, yeah, go in the elevator. Go on up.
No.
Absolutely not.
They wouldn't let him in the building.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But they do. They go all the way up to the top and immediately see, not Echidna. What happens when they get up there?
They do the fire alarm to get everybody off there yes. first. And then
they think that she's going to show up. They're like,
she's going to show up. So they make their way across.
They really had me for a hot second thinking that they were going to give this scene to Annabeth.
Oh, because she was. Yeah, so Annabeth wanted to basically sacrifice herself.
Yeah, she wanted to send Grover and Percy down.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing? Percy, are we going to give this to Annabeth?
Yeah, no,
this is like a big scene for Percy.
Percy handed her the sword, like, hey, okay, at least take this. And then he did the old switcheroo and was like, psych! Pulled her out, closed the door behind him, and was like, this is my fight. And he started to speak very low. With that thick fire.
Clearly yelling from the other side.
Yes. And muffled when they're yelling.
And muffled.
And he's like, this is my fight, guys.
And I'm like, they can't fucking hear you.
Make your way to Hades Town and I'll deal with this.
Wait for me.
Yeah.
I'm coming. That's a great song.
Yes.
It's a great song.
It's a good song.
Now I've lost my train of thought. So in the book, they really are just going sightseeing. So like they all take the elevator up. They're in the elevator.
Is there not a time limit?
They know how long their layover is.
Okay.
They basically have a layover in St. Louis for some amount of time before the train starts
takes
up again.
Them again.
So they have a couple of few hours to kill some time. So they're just sightseeing. They go up. They take the elevator up. They're in the elevator with this woman and her little dog. And then they're you know, looking around. And then when they're ready to go, they get on the elevator back. But it's full. And so Grover and Annabeth get on. And then they realize it's full. And they're like, oh, we'll wait with you. And he's like, nah, go down. Like, it's fine. I'll be right there. So they go down, and that's why they get separated. And then he's up there with the lady and her dog. And there's still people in there.
Is it not Echidna?
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is. It's Echidna and the Chimera, but there's other people up there with him.
But they can't see the Chimera. They just see
they
a lady
see
and
a dog.
A dog.
I'm sure they see something.
Yeah.
And that's when the fight kicks off with him and Echidna. And essentially a hole is blown in the wall, like the side wall. And Percy's basically thinking, like, there's a lot of people here. They're going to die. Like, I got to do something about this. Like, we have to get this fight out of here.
Hmm.
And he fucking jumps. He does not fall.
He's not wearing the shoes.
No, no, no. And this is the only thing that I knew about this book was the St. Louis Arch scene. Because I've seen videos and, like, memes of people that are, like, looking at where the arch is and how far the river is.
Oh, from it is?
And they're like, he jumped that?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Because in the book, it makes it sound like essentially the river's right underneath it. And he makes a big old jump and he prays to his father right before he jumps. And he's just like, help me with this. Because like he's jumping into water and he knows and this is something that I appreciated about the book, is that I talk about this every time. We just saw it in Wheel of Time. When they jump into the water, when anybody jumps into water, like movies and TV always treat it like you're just jumping into a cloud. Like it's just water. It does not take into account surface tension.
Yes.
But he even says that. He knows. He's like, I know that hitting it from this high is like hitting concrete.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that I don't die. And so he like prays to his father to help him and he jumps.
He wouldn't have made that.
He would not have made that. You're looking at how far it is?
He wouldn't have made that jump.
Crazy. So in the show, obviously it's changed to hole in the floor, he falls, and the river reaches out and grabs him and pulls
that's
him
more plausible.
Yeah.
Even in real life, that's more plausible than him falling
like,
or jumping.
Made that jump?
No, you didn't, bro.
Ridiculous.
And you would have died on contact
yes.
with the water.
That part is explained essentially just by the whole water is good for him.
Yeah, no. Like yeah, okay.
He has some amount of control over or is healed by water. So that's why the impact doesn't kill him immediately. But the fact that he even makes the jump is hilarious.
Yeah,
So they made it a little bit. I honestly was very curious to see what they were going to do. I was like, how are we going to do this? Like, is he just going to take a massive fucking jump?
Leap of faith is sometimes all you got to take.
He falls straight down and is grabbed.
Water grabs
him,
yes.
The thing. So he's grabbed, and we end in the water, yes?
Yes, because it's the breathing.
Yeah, so he's in the water. He gets stuck on the bottom with all the disgusting everything that's down
so
there.
So he's still poisoned, because even if the water heals him, the water's going to kill him.
And it talks about in the book how polluted the water is.
Yeah.
Like, it's really gross to look at. It's, like, hard to see through. There's trash everywhere.
They didn't show the trash, but it's, like, a greenish, grayish, yeah. Like, it's disgusting.
And so he sees this woman in the distance, hears a voice. He thinks it's his mom at first.
Was it a woman? Well, I know the voice was feminine, but like,
it looks like the shape of a woman.
It looked like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, in the TV show, it looks like a jellyfish.
As it's described, he thinks he can like see a woman.
Okay.
And he thinks it's his mom.
All right.
And she's like, nope, just a messenger, just a dryad, right, is what they are in the
yeah.
water. Yeah. You got the naiads in the woods and the dryads in the water.
Mm-hmm. Or a dryad's air.
I don't know. So she says that she's a messenger. She was sent by a Poseidon and tells him to breathe. And so this is how Percy figures out that he can breathe underwater.
He should have said, ugh, no.
Yeah. So interestingly, when Percy hits the water, he notices that he's completely dry. Like, the whole time he's underwater, he's dry to the touch. Like, almost like the water's not touching him.
Okay.
So then he figures out that he can breathe because he just has to breathe in.
Dryads are for forest.
Oh, well, then maybe that's the naiad. Maybe I had it backwards. Maybe the naiad is the sea.
Maybe. I don't know.
But anyway, it's a messenger sent by Poseidon. And she tells Percy to breathe, so that's how he learns. And then she starts telling him, she's like, it's been really hard for your father to stand back. It's been hard for him to watch you struggle. But he's very proud of you, and you should trust him. And you
but what
breathe.
Does that even mean, it's been hard for him?
Right. Like, why couldn't he reach out? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
I got a phone.
I'll tell you, I don't fucking know, because it's not what he says in the book.
But there's
a different message in the book.
What's the message?
Because we've landed in the water and he's not out yet, I don't know if they're going to say the rest of it. And so we'll wait. I found this on the web, but there's a different Siri, if anybody caught that and wants to tell us what the answer is. No. Okay, really? Is she done?
I don't know how to turn that off. Stop. Gonna mark that so I know where to go. All right, go ahead. So if he gets out of the water, there's a different message. Is that what you're telling me?
It's the message that she gives, the whole, like, you know, it's hard to watch you struggle, trust him, is not the message. She has a message for him, it's just not that in the book.
Oh, okay.
It's a very specific message that she gives him. So if they like open the next episode with it, then I don't know, we'll see. And that's where we leave off.
And that's where we're like done too, because we've caught up. And this is a weekly show, so it's not even a...
So we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because we're doing two episodes at a time. How you feeling? How you liking it?
It's good. Like, again, it's just an adventure. I like adventure. I can't... I mean, and then it's not anything that's...
Yes.
Beyond middle grade. Like, if this was supposed to be more of a adult fantasy, then I could be like very harsh on it.
But
like,
it's for kids.
Yeah, so then I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
no, good with it's cute. I like the production quality is really good on this.
Production quality is good. Disney,
it looks great.
Disney did a good job.
This is what I'm hoping for Aragorn. This is what I'm, because again, it has a similar trajectory of like the bad movie and then getting revived by Disney Plus many years later with a much better.
But was it a bad movie?
Aragorn or Percy Jackson? Because the answer to both is yes.
Wow.
I've never seen Percy Jackson, but I hear.
And we're going to watch Percy Jackson after
we'll
the first season.
Similarly to what we did with His Dark Materials, we watched the first season of the show, and then I made Aaron watch the movie, which is heinous.
What else did we do?
We did His Dark Materials. We did Shadow and Bone.
Oh, there's no movie for Shadow and Bone. Got it. Oh, did you want to break it on episode, what is this, 3?
What about it?
That we're not doing anymore. Shadow and Bone.
Oh, because the show got canceled.
Yeah, I know. But the people don't know.
The people know. The people are aware.
Okay.
The people, anybody who was seeking out Shadow and Bone to listen to a podcast about it are aware that it got canceled.
I'm just saying, you know.
They know.
Okay.
I'm not going to treat the people like an idiot, all right?
Wow.
I trust the people to know.
So you're just going to throw that on me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You underestimate the people.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So we'll be back next time. The next episode is called... A God Buys Us Cheeseburgers.
Okay.
That is our next episode. We'll be back for that one in a couple of weeks.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that'll be that. So I guess we're done. I guess you're going to press the button? You're going to... Okay.